if my mouse will work. Welcome to Unbounded Potential's Go Beyond series with your hosts, Karen King and Selma from Radis. Our mission is to help you tap into your innate potential by providing you with cutting-edge speakers and leading-edge information.
You will receive the insights, tools, strategies, and mindset that you need to empower yourself so that you can empower others as together we empower the world.
Well, welcome everyone to the mini-series Predictions, Forecasts, and Transformation in 2016. I'm Karen, and with my co-host Selma, we want to extend our heartfelt thank you to you for joining us. You know, our world has never needed more compassionate, brave dreamers and bright, perceptive souls doing great things in the world as it does now. Nine extraordinary speakers have come together in this series to inspire you to maximize the opportunity of this fresh year of 2016. They all hold the intention to help you progress forward to find truth, peace, beauty, and even opportunity and success in the midst of challenges. Many say that 2016 will be a time of great change. We'll be asking that question to tonight's first guest, who is gifted with extraordinary intuition, and she'll be talking about her ongoing project using a pool of intuitives to accurately predict the future, which has gained so much international attention. Wow, we can't wait for that information. She's given over 20,000 readings in her lifetime, and her website of world predictions currently draw 35,000 people monthly, and she'll be taking your questions. Selma, can you tell us a little bit more about tonight's very special guest?
You know, by emphasizing special, are you meaning, Karen, a guest who is unique, remarkably talented, distinctive? Well, she's here with all those attributes and much more. Now, Jean Mayo is a professional intuitive, an author who gives private life readings and offers tools to help people develop their psychic abilities. Now, holding master's degrees from the Harvard School of Public Health and the Harvard Graduate School of Education, and published in The Atlantic and other national journals, she brings an academic and intellectual rigor to the world of psychic readings and intuition training. Now, maintaining that psychic ability is part of everyone's natural guidance system. Mayel regularly trains lay people to read for themselves and their friends and find their soulmates and the right work and predict the future with remarkable results. Now, she says, seeing the future gives us a chance to change our direction. This is the evolutionary gift that enables us to survive. So we're very, very glad you're here with us. Welcome to the show, Jean Mayo.
Wow, that was a wonderful introduction. Thank you very much.
Oh,
excited.
Pleasure. Yeah, we're happy.
Jean, I'm sure you can pretty well have any job you want in the world, in the health and wellness world. You hold three master's degrees in mainstream fields, two from Harvard University in public health and education, and one in counseling psychology. Yet, here you are described as a gifted, extraordinary intuitive and one of America's most talented tarot readers and psychic. What was the catalyst for you, Jean, that lifted your veil and connected you to the spirit world?
Actually, it really goes back to a tragedy I went through when I was 30 years old and I lost my first husband. And at that time, I had been cruising along mainstream and didn't really think about spirituality, although as a child I was very, very spiritual and intuitive. But you'd lose that, you know, when you go to school. And I got ambitious, and I lived in the Boston area, and I thought, well, you know, this is where, you know, research and information is so important. And it's true, I gravitated towards the helping professions. I mean, I was in the health and welfare business, and that was what was interesting to me. But it wasn't until actually that moment. It was a very, my husband had been a professor at Harvard Business School, and he died tragically and suddenly, and I suddenly found myself thrust into, like, part of me was in the spirit world. And it was as if I could hear voices telling me everything's going to be okay. This is the path of your life. This is important. Not to, you know, a lot of help and direction. And it changed everything. And it's funny because it happened at age 30, and I kept going in my current trajectory. You know, I did quit my job. I was the Medicaid director for the state of Massachusetts. I had 5,000 people working for me, and I just couldn't focus on it. And I quit my job and moved to New York City. But I took a similar kind of job working there at Office of Management and Budget. And during that time, I just became less and less interested in the work I was doing. And in fact, that's one of my tips to people about their intuition is notice where your enthusiasm is. Notice your energy. Notice what makes you smile. And it wasn't making me smile anymore, the work. It wasn't bad work, but it just, I wasn't turned on. And so, you know, I moved back to Boston and started pursuing like oriental medicine and acupuncture, I mean learning about it, and massage and ancient nutrition, and that all led to getting much more into the spiritual realm. And I got very, very excited when somebody took me to see a psychic in 1984, and it was as if, oh my God, I've been doing this all my life. This is what matters to me. I want to meditate. I want to go and learn yoga. And it just, you know, when I graduated from Harvard School of Public Health, I had a lot of job opportunities. Mm-hmm. I had like 3 or 4 really good job opportunities, mm-hmm. and I just wasn't excited about it. I was excited about playing with the tarot and meditating and channeling. And so even though people around me, like my parents, were like, are you kidding me? Are you going to do that?
What? Really?
You know, I just said, you know, one thing is having gone through a tragic loss, a death, I remember my mother said, look, you can do whatever you want. And I remember feeling like, yeah, I'm going to do what I want and I'm going to make it work because this is, I just have to go this way. And I am so glad I did. It's been 30 years since then, and every day I wake up and I love what I do, and it keeps me open and challenged. So there's my little story.
That's not such a little story, and it's very similar to mine because my husband had passed away when I was 42, I guess. And, you know, he always said, and I thought, you can't do this to me. And now this was like he had cancer, so we knew that the end was coming. And I just kept saying, you can't do this to me. And what am I going to do? Because I have a challenged daughter. And he just kept saying, you're stronger than you'll ever know.
Wow.
And I thought, Yeah, right. And it was interesting, too, because I'd been in the shipping industry all my life. I had my own shipping company and was shipping things all over the world. And to go on this path now, and it was, that death was the catalyst for this. So very similar path here. Yeah, very interesting.
And you know, I also noticed that a lot of the people who come to me to learn the tarot, to learn intuition, have just gone through these kinds of things. I have more widows, more people who they lost their jobs. A lot of it has to do with death or with divorce, really big changes. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, they say it breaks your when your heart is broken, it actually breaks open, and it opens you up to something wonderful and new. And so it's really true. It's wonderful to watch people transform their lives from something that could have been a shattering experience, but instead it kind of shatters your worldview, your old self. It's like you're a little chick in an egg, and the egg cracks, and you're like, oh, my God, Chicken Little, you know,
and then sky is falling.
The sky is falling. And, in fact, what's happened is your world is bigger. you've gotten too small for your world, and suddenly you realize it's a much bigger world, much bigger sky. So, and I think we're all guided. I think we're all here for a reason. I do. I'm really agnostic. I don't like being told what to believe. Mm-hmm. And that includes the New Age realm, too, you know. Mm-hmm. I like to experience it myself. And what I've come to is that I'm guided and that there are all kinds of beings out there we can't see who are helping us and bringing us forward. And we need it right now, badly. So it's a wonderful world.
It's a are you going to break into song? Are you going to break
yeah.
into song?
No.
Or Selma.
100 times already for Christmas, right? But Jean, but you know, sometimes with trauma, you know, we feel sometimes that the veil is lifted, right? It's just you know, it just opens up a different
right.
kind of a realm. Because I'm
right.
sure, you know, you were very, you know, before this traumatic experience for you, you were probably very skeptical. You know, somebody says,
I was.
Psychic,
I was obnoxiously
going
skeptical.
To the next room.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
when you
connect to somebody in the spirit world. Now I can do it easily, but back then it was because the person I was so close to entered the spirit world, and I realized he was still around.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, there's a wonderful book, a trilogy, and it's called The Subtle Knife, and it's part of a whole trilogy by Philip Pullman. It's a children's trilogy, and in it, in The Subtle Knife, this little princess has a knife, and she can actually make a slice into the air and enter into another world. And I feel like that's what happened at the moment that I realized you can just reach out. It's all happening. There are people on the other side, and not just people on the other side, but people on this side who you're not around or you're not near. You're feeling them too all the time. You can read anything. You can read anybody at any time, past, present, future. And that is a really expansive feeling, which I want to teach people. I mean, I give readings. I give great readings, life readings.
Mm-hmm.
And I also really want other people to find their intuition because we need it. Everyone needs to be connecting in this world. It's a beautiful experience. People feel less afraid. They feel more protected, more guided, more helped. So that's my goal. And also people feel interconnected, like we're all connected.
Mm-hmm. Well, like we feel connected, you know, really connected with you know, our audience members, you know.
Exactly.
We know that there's just an
definitely.
Essence about them. So Jean, can you give us maybe a few simple, you know, like tips or pointers, you know, what we can do right
sure.
now to become more
yep.
intuitive?
Yep. So, you know, there are kind of two levels of becoming more intuitive. One level is just, how can I be more intuitive on an everyday basis? I mean, not necessarily giving readings to people or projecting them into the future or doing prophecy, but just how can I live my life more intuitively? And I want to say, first of all, that, you know, they say that we only use like a small percentage of our brain. And mm-hmm. if you delve into the world of intuition, if you try to become more intuitive, you're using much, much more of your brain. You're using something that we all have. So where does it start? Like a few tips, I'll just say a few things. So intuition is in your senses. You know, they talk about a sixth sense, the sixth sense. Well, all of your senses, your eyes, your ears, your nose, taste, your touch, your sense in your body, all of those senses can be expanded and make into intuition. So you can actually, you know, when you use your eyes, you're just seeing energy. You can actually use your eyes inwardly, and you can see energy. So a lot of what I teach is about being more aware of what's going on in your body. It's very much a mindfulness exercise, and I'll lead you in a little while, lead you in a meditation to help you do that. But on a simple level, here are a few tips. Number one, notice what makes you smile. So you're trying to make a decision, you know, should I go out with that guy or that other guy, or should I go back to school, or should I go to law school, or should I learn tarot cards, or should I buy that house, or should I just rent? And you're trying to make decision. Notice, it's noticing yourself. it's not in your head. It's not an analysis, you know, like, oh, should I go to law school? Well, here, let me do a calculation and and whether that's a good and practical thing. First of all, that question, you know, our parents all said, well, they want us to be doctors, lawyers, and in chief. You have no idea. They have no idea what the world will need in 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So notice what makes you smile. As that's your intuition. That is your body, your nervous system, your heart as well that's operating. And it knows not only what you need and what is true for you, but it also knows what the world will need and how you'll fit into it. So another example is, a really good example is, notice your enthusiasm. Now, enthusiasm comes from the Greek. The Greeks knew. They understood all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That enthusiasm actually literally means, the word is Greek, and it means God is going through you, or the divine is flowing through you. So when I was graduating from Harvard, the School of Public Health, I had tremendous enthusiasm to go to Kripalu Yoga Center and to meditate and to read tarot and to give readings, and I didn't have so much enthusiasm. I just didn't have it at all for these real practical jobs that, you know, I used to have wanted. I wanted years ago. And so follow that, because that means spirit is flowing through you.
Okay, Salma, I'm leaving the business. I'm going to start in the music industry. Sorry.
Well, this is for selfies, phone selfies. If you want to make a decision, take a phone selfie and then look at the, you know, look at the pictures, what the questions are. Make the mark on there. Then you'll know. You're smiling ear to ear, and you're going to Tahiti and do yoga up there rather than going to law school. There's your answer. I like that. Okay.
Do you want some more
smiling
tips? Ear.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay. A lot of these tips are, they've been in the vernacular for years. There's like, pay attention to your gut. You know, they always say, what is your gut decision, or what do you gut?
Yeah.
So I remember reading about a Japanese businessman who's one of these $100 million people. You know, he's made a lot of money. And he would say, you know, in the East, they're much more open to using intuition than they are in the West. But he would say that before he would do a business deal, like, say, sign a deal to build a $10 million building, he would have a big meal, and if he got indigestion, he wouldn't do the deal.
Really?
Yes, and this man made a lot of money that way.
Oh. I mean,
why is that? Why is that? It makes a lot of sense. Your gut has like 100 million neurons in it. It's called the second brain. It's called the enteric nervous system. It is very sensitive to your nerve. It's part of your nervous system, but it's really sensitive. So, you know, I mean, I don't know if there's anybody who wouldn't say that when they were upset, they've been at some time in their life gotten an upset stomach or cramps.
Yeah.
And so what, you know, and I used to have this one client who was always trying to decide whether to go. He had a big company and he wanted to know whether to go IPO, right?
Mm-hmm.
And should he take his company public? And he would come and see me, and it would be hard because he's very cerebral, and so am I. And this was back in the early days when I wasn't as experienced. And we would sit there for 4 hours where he would go back and forth. And then what would help me to tell him, for me to know exactly what he should do, was I would sit there and imagine that he'd left my office, and I let him go and go IPO, and I would notice that thinking about that would make me sick to my stomach. and we worked together, and I would use that idea that I had let him make the decision, and eventually the timing was right, and I didn't feel sick. I didn't get that feeling in my stomach, and I knew it was okay. So go with your gut. Pay attention to your gut.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that a good one?
It is.
I have another good one. Another one is, well, this is a no-brainer. Breathe. If you take a breath, your intuition starts to work. What happens is, when you take a good breath, your whole body relaxes. That's just scientific fact. It automatically causes your body to relax. But you get out of your head. And if you breathe on top of that, take a breath and then think about the breath that it's going into your body. Like, everybody just do that. Like, just go. you can almost feel the breath going through you. You're going now into your body and you're getting out of your head. And remember, your head, like your brain, your head, it doesn't have an intuitive thought. It's basically your mind, your brain, it's got a lot of data. It's like a big hard drive. And so if you make decisions based on that, I mean, we need that information. We need data. But if you base it on that, it's not going to be based on energy or the present moment. It's going to be based on the past. And so good luck with it, because it's true that a lot of times the past continues to happen. You know, things that happen in the past continue to happen in the present, but it isn't intuition. It's not intuitive, and it isn't creative either. So you take a breath, and you feel the energy in your body, and automatically you start to listen to your intuition. And what are you listening to? You're listening to your body, to your heart, and to your soul. And so you start to get thoughts that are, it's like coming from another place. It's usually peaceful, and it feels like guidance. That's because it is guidance.
It is guidance.
Another one is notice your energy. So, I mean, these are subtle everyday tips. Like, notice, for example, whether you feel tired around that person, you know, some person who you spend a lot of time with, kind of tired, or that job, or that, you know, whatever, that anything, versus that you feel enlivened. It's very similar to go within your enthusiasm. Your body knows. Your whole nervous system is going to ramp up, and you're going to feel more alive when you're engaged with somebody or a job or activity that is a really good fit for you and also a good fit for the whole universe. So I always find myself in the right place at the right time, and I always wondered, how did that happen? And I think it's because I'm just sort of organically pursuing, you know, where I get taken to.
This is fascinating. Which you have the enthusiasm, right? That, you know,
exactly.
You just have that, just something that takes your breath away. You're talking to people or this or that or whatever. But sometimes, yeah, I've been in, you know, like offices where you go in and it's almost like you're panning the energy, and it's just, there is no energy. It's so
right.
negative.
Right.
People don't want to be
knock
there.
On the next door.
Yeah, you're kind of, you walk quickly out of there. But, yeah.
Let's continue with these tips in a moment. But, you know,
sure.
My question is, there's a lot of people, again, looking for the right relationship, right business, career. I mean, there's so many right investments. How would you answer Cynthia? She was written in. She's from Jackson. She said, my birthday was yesterday. My job being eliminated. How can I use my intuition to find a lucrative, satisfying job? What would you say to Cynthia? Or
first of all, I would say,
first
of all, I would say your birthday is your new year, Cynthia, and it's a new start. So, you know, this is a really good time for you. And as far as what would I do if I were completely open to a new job? Well, you know, it's funny, but one of the things that I did once was, when I couldn't figure out what to do with my life, is I walked into a bookstore, big, big, beautiful, gorgeous bookstore, like a Barnes & Noble type, and I wandered around until I found myself in front of a section that I wanted to be in front of. You know, I let my body guide me around the room, and I started to notice what I was drawn to. Like, you know, like, we are raised in families and in society where we're told so much what we should be interested in and what we should do and the kind of jobs we should have. And I had reached the point in my 20s where I didn't know who I was or what I wanted. I'd lost my direction, my path, myself. And so I found that really helpful. That was huge for me. I wandered around the bookstore until, bang, there I was, standing in front of something that found my interest, and that got me in the direction of the kind of work I should do. And
was
then
that the cooking? Is that the cooking section or something?
Some days it is cooking, actually. And,
see,
and
that,
that's another thing. I keep books by my bedside like with great wise sayings, like the Tao Te Ching, or, you know, Pema Chodron, who's a Tibetan Monk, or poetry by Mary Oliver. And when I'm really worrying or struggling or can't figure out what to do, I'll just open them at random, and they're always right on. They're always spot on. And that, again, that's your intuition, because your body is opening the book at random, not your mind. As far as what else I might do if I were in this position is, I think that I would also work on just strengthening myself, Cynthia, right now, strengthening my energy. I would use this time to actually watch how you're spending your time. Start doing things that you enjoy, that not things that you're doing to escape. You know, there's a difference, and you know when you're doing that. We all know when we're escaping. But like active, you know, engagement. Like look around at activities, volunteer activities, what's going on in town that you can join and do, meetups. And it's, you're going to be kind of like a little boat going down a river. It's just going to carry you to where you should be. And then there's one last tip I would give you, Cynthia, which is, and anybody, is visualize. Take a time, meditate, you know, breathe, sit quietly, and picture that you will be taken to the right work. I did that for a long time because I couldn't figure out what I needed to do with my life. How would I have ever thought that I was going to be doing psychic work or reading cards? I just knew that I needed something satisfying. So I would imagine that I would close my eyes and I would just imagine that I was carried, like up through the air, you know, and that I would land in this job. And I didn't know what it would be, but it would be wonderful. And I would love it. And I would feel satisfied. And that really helps a lot. Visualizing. You're engaging all of your senses, and then you're guided.
Right. Oh, that's beautiful. I like that. Well, I'm very intrigued with the work that you're doing with some of your students. I know that, you know, you get together maybe a few times a year, Jean, and where you kind of invoke visions of the future of a world. So you've had some, you and your group have had some incredible accuracy over the last 5 years. So tell us more about your group of intuitives. Are they all from the same walks of life? Are they ordinary people who just, you know, kind of started seeing the future? And what comes up? When you have visions, is it symbols? Or, you know, just tell us, how was this information presented to you?
So they're ordinary people who came to me for a class. They may have showed up in an introductory class in the tarot or just a class in actually mindfulness. And they heard that I had a more in-depth class called the Thursday Night Tarot, which I have. And you can sign up for 5 weeks at a time. And they would come and just to learn this. And they're ordinary people. They're, you know what they are? They're doctors, lawyers. I mean, I actually have psychiatrists. No Indian chief yet, but apparently they're, one of them told me that there's one outside in my woods who is channeling to me. So, and that's no joke, you know, that there's a whole Native American contingent going on. But anyway, so these people would be, some of them are housewives and yoga instructors and teachers, a lot of teachers. Anyway, they're, and retirees. And as I said before, some of them are people who've been through losses and tragedies, and so they feel drawn to wanting to, you know, find out what's going on at a different realm. And so I teach them tarot, and I teach, you know, how to read the cards, which is very easy, and it's the same process for being psychic about anything. You just follow your eyes on the card. And we have a good time with that. And then twice a year, I send out an email to all the people who've ever been in any of these classes and ask them to come, and a bunch will show up, and I teach them how to meditate on the future, which is really very, very easy. You just close your eyes and meditate, and then I call out the months, like, you know, I'll say it's 2016, you know, September 2016, and I ask them to write down whatever comes up for them. And mind you, they've been getting, like, instruction from me in how to read just by meditating and seeing, like, what does your gut feel? Like, what pictures are in your head? And, what, you hear any voices? Does anything say anything to you? So I teach them how to do that, and you can use that for reading another person or reading a country. You can read the future just by calling out the months in your mind and then writing down what you get. So originally I started doing this because I really wanted to know who was going to win the 2012 election, the presidential election in the U.S. And so I was bugging them a lot and saying, okay, now we're going to learn how to meditate in the future, and then I want to see what you get. And it's, you know, the accuracy was phenomenal. And and it helped my accuracy, because even though I meditate a lot on my own and I do pretty well with visions and, you know, future and seeing the future, when I'm with a group, it just seems like it's amplified and they feel it too. Mm-hmm. It's so people who've never done this before suddenly feel, it's like training wheels or something. They suddenly feel like, oh my God, I'm getting all these visions. And then I post them up on my website and then they start coming true. And that's really fun when people who've never done this before, you know, I get an email from somebody saying, oh my God, this vision I had, look, and they'll give me, you know, a link to some news site that shares that it actually happened. So at first it was kind of fun, you know, it was like you might say, like doing parlor tricks. But then I realized very soon that this is serious business. As a species, we need to be able to use our brains and our minds to be able to see ahead. It's
and
a kind of, I think,
too, right?
Sorry?
Yeah, and so when we see ahead, if there's something that is very foreboding, we have the ability to make some changes sometimes.
We do. We do. It's the same, to me, it's the same as if you're driving down the highway, you've got your eyes and ears open, and you see, like, maybe there is a cow in the road, and you've got to stop or go a different way, right? And so this is, and you know, psychics for centuries have been seeing, you know, prophecies, giving prophecies. You know, there are stories in the Bible of how psychics actually saved whole civilizations. And so, and I'm not saying that it's only psychics who can do this. We all have this ability. Some people are more talented than others. But I think it's important for us to be fully aware of where we're headed and to see the signs and pay attention to them. And so it's also a form of environmental awareness. Like, well, like, pay attention to the earth, pay attention to the trees, and you can feel it. We're part of it. So,
one of your predictions were, you know, because I was looking, you know, maybe you can talk about that a little bit more.
Sure.
But I was just saying about the big trees, but some, you know, they're dying inside their trunks, and I love trees. Like, I have a deck that's built around a, you know, a big elm tree, and I just love it here. But I guess some of the prophecies saying that. You know, they're going to be dying because of, you know, the lack of water and, you know, because they need so many nutrients. And, oh, my goodness, you're talking about maybe 80% of trees will die from global warming, droughts around the globe. Wow.
You know, I like to see my own predictions rather than just take the word of other people who are doing predictions. And it really helps me to see it myself. So I meditate all the way out to the middle of the century and beyond, and I put that on my website. I do that, and I see things. And in general, well, first of all, I mean, we've been really accurate about things that have already happened, you know, elections and politics and, oh my goodness, the whole ISIS crisis, all that stuff. We've been seeing all those things, and you can go on my website and see our track record. It's pretty amazing. But as far as what is ahead, I mean, I can just tell you a general feeling, and then I can give you any specifics you want, because the visions, and they're all up on my website, but the visions are pretty specific, is that we're going through a kind of speeding up of our society, of our civilization is speeding up, and all the things that we've been like doing, it's just going to happen faster. So the market, the stock market, I definitely have been seeing that. I don't feel there'll be a crash this year, in spite of, like, the last two weeks have been pretty scary in the market. But I haven't seen 2016 being the big year. But 2017 starts to get really volatile. And I think of the stock market as a nervous system of the civilized or, you know, the industrial world. It's like a nervous system. And it's going to get really volatile and next year. And the year after, and then, you know, then it's like a little, you know, fuzzy. Sometimes I look at it and I see a big bear market in the middle of 2019 and then really, you know, really in earnest in 2020. And then sometimes I think it's a little earlier. If I were investing, I would start really paying close attention next year. But the other thing I'm seeing is the environment. We're going to start seeing a speeding up of the climate changes in the 20s, like 2025, 2020, 2030s. Things are going to really speed up. And I mean, I don't think people should worry or be afraid. I think it's more, first of all, it's good for us to be aware of where we're headed because then we can change it. But secondly, ultimately, I think that the outcome of all this is that life's going to get more peaceful and people are going to be more content with what they have and focus more on the heart. I really do. I mean, I do feel like the whole kind of country and the advanced countries, the ones that are wherever you are, if you're listening in, you're from one of those countries, life's going to get a lot more slow after we go through like the rabbit hole, which I would just say is sometime in the 20s, maybe 2020, where things, it's just not going to be possible for people to just keep on like spending and earning and growing and that intensity of this market society. And so then things get a little bit more peaceful. And the other thing I'm seeing is, I mean, it's very specific stuff. Like I am seeing some in 2028, the market actually comes back, believe it or not. And women are in charge. I hope there's a lot of women on this call. I predict right now that in 2028, we're going to have a woman president, a woman vice president, a woman secretary of state. And it's not, you know, there'll be plenty of things for men to do. But as far as running the world, it's going to be more women in charge, and I think that'll be a good thing.
Okay. What do you say about this whole refugee crisis and what that will do to Europe?
Well, you know, I do have one person in my group who is very sensitive to the whole, you know, the refugee situation. She's sensitive to the ISIS situation. She's Jewish and her husband's Israeli, and she is, you know, she's seen a lot, and I have too. So when I see something, and so does one of my students, then I pay more attention. And what we're both seeing is, well, as far as, you know, these terrorist attacks, more in Europe and more of it. And as far as refugees, they're not going to, the thing I've picked up, the refugees are not going to take their situation lying down. They're going to start getting, you know, they're going to start demonstrating and revolting. They're not going to take it lying down that they are told, you know, they can't go to a safer place or a place where they can actually feed their kids. So, I mean, if that's what you meant by the question, that is something I have seen. And so we're, you know, going to have to do something about that. We have to take care of each other, I guess. But I don't want to philosophize or tell you my politics. I just want to tell you what I see. And I just feel like, you know, people are not going to just sit back and say, okay. Because I've seen it.
When you see this demonstrating and revolting and they're not, is that in their home countries, in their home areas that they're going to, it's like an uprising?
I saw uprisings in Europe. And so, you know, refugees who are, I think what I'm seeing, is we don't always know what we're seeing, but I did see, you know, refugees kind of revolting in a sense. I'm assuming it's people who are in holding camps who are told, you know, you can stay here, but you can't go there. And that eventually, you know, there's uprisings.
Okay.
But I can't tell you which country. I don't know.
I'm just curious.
So, Jean, what about any kind of medical breakthroughs? You know, are we closer to, you know, curing cancer or anything like that?
I've seen a breakthrough with ALS that just popped out in a reading, but I haven't seen. It's not that they aren't going to happen. I'm sure they are. It's just that those are just the things that have popped up. That one in particular has popped up. And we've seen also breakthroughs in, you know, seeing other worlds, for example, and microscopes getting bigger and stronger, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of nice.
Is that extraterrestrial? Is that what you're kind of alluding to? Or?
I'm just saying that I've seen breakthroughs in being able to observe other worlds, and that could be. I mean, I guess I shouldn't have said no, because I'm not sure what it is, but it's definitely, so far, in the last 5 years, I've seen a lot of breakthroughs, and they've come true around a new microscope, understanding the Big Bang theory. I mean, so I can only take what I now see in the future and apply what came true in the past and say, well, I'm seeing a lot of breakthroughs around peering out into the universe.
Right.
And I don't know what the outcome is. But it's kind of interesting that is coming through.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so
you get more sophisticated telescopes and everything else, and somebody wants to, you know, kind of like do again like a moon village and as a stepping stone to Mars. So I mean, it's really out there.
I think that I have to, in order to see that stuff, I have to really focus on it.
Right.
And you see what you, in many ways, you see what you are interested in and what you focus on.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed
that
some psychics see a lot of celebrity stuff, and then I look them up and I discover, oh, they live in L.A. So, whereas I don't tend to see celebrity news. And so but if somebody says to me in a reading, would you please let me know about this subject, I will focus on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get answers that way. So it's just that I haven't really focused on.
Okay, so some of our listeners with a question, if they have a question about something about the future, then, you know, you will take a moment to think about it.
Mm.
All right.
And I'd like
really
to take
good.
A moment now to go over your special offer, Jean. So, folks, if you're on the dashboard page at unboundedpotential.com/now, and you scroll down just a little bit, it says view special offer just before or just underneath all the webcast information. That will take you to Jean's special offer page, unboundedpotential.com/Jean. You're offering a one-hour life reading at $247 as your special offer for our listeners, Jean. Now, you've given over 20,000 readings in your lifetime. Wow! Talk about getting
know.
To know a lot of people. That's a big Rolodex.
You also get really good at what you're doing when you get that much practice.
Thomas,
you get feedback. You get to see where you were not doing it correctly and how, you know, what were you reading, and then you start to really get much, much better at it.
Mm-hmm. Practice makes perfect, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of people, when they first learn how to read, you pick up a lot. You can pick up wishful thinking from a person. They're all excited, mm-hmm. and they're thinking something. And you can mistake that for what will happen. And I think I've learned to hone what I see so that my accuracy is very good.
Right.
And
Thomas says
this
about your readings. Jean was able to give me some much-needed life help after just one session. It's her relaxed style that made this a great learning opportunity for me. There's no BS. Jean helped me get some much-needed insight into my own psyche. So, Jean, who are these readings for? Is it for people at a crossroad in their life, seeking insight into themselves, relationships, work, health, lives of those they love in this world and beyond? Who comes to you for reading?
It's all of the above. And, you know, people come, sometimes people get a reading and they're all excited and they say, how often should I come back? And I say, just come when you get the call, when you feel it, when you
mm-hmm.
feel like I want to call her. And it's the same thing with the first time. A lot of people call me the first time because of a crossroads, you know, job
mm-hmm.
change, relationship change, all the above, losing somebody. Because one thing that does happen when I'm reading someone is I get a sense of someone on the other side who cares about them. So that's always nice, too. So people call for all kinds of reasons. Some are just curious, too. They want to learn. And I think they want to become more intuitive. And what better way to start than by going to somebody who's really intuitive and getting a reading on their own life?
Yeah.
So
Jean, one time you shared with me that somebody came in for reading something specific, something about a car or something like that, you know, and they asked you a few questions. All of a sudden,
amazing.
It totally changed. You said something to them, and then the whole reading kind of changed because somebody came through, and they were just like, that was amazing.
Yeah,
can you just,
it was a long time ago, but this happens a lot, okay, and this is why I ask people in the beginning of the reading. Some people call and they say, I want to talk about blippity blip. And I say, yes, okay, but first I want to just start wide open. I don't want to, and don't tell me anything. And we meditate very briefly together, and I focus, and I start seeing things, and then I give them this, like, life reading. And then if they tell me, look, I'm really calling with questions, specific questions, I always go through the life part really quickly so that we can take a lot of time on questions. However, if you don't do that, then you can miss a lot. Like, for example, the one I was telling you about, it was many years ago, someone called me, and they had one very specific question. They were trying to sell their car, and they wanted to know, it was a very unusual, rare car and expensive, and they wanted to know what I could see about it. And I meditated, and I saw this beautiful boy, this beautiful blonde boy, and I described him. And the woman just gasped, and she said, that's my son. You're seeing my son who had died and as a teenager and 4 years earlier. And I saw him over her and telling, you know, and I wasn't expecting it because at the time I never read people on the other side. But frankly, if you learn how to read, you're going to pick up any kind of energy. It's not a specialty like you just pick up, you know, the car question. And it was an incredible reading for her. I mean, I think that was like one of the best things that had happened to her. And she then, you know, went back and told her husband, and he called. but I felt really privileged to be able to offer this vision to her because she couldn't see it herself. She was too, you know, too caught up in everyday life.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that gave her so much comfort.
It did.
Yeah.
Comfort there. Oh.
It did. There are, you know, I really feel there are beings around us all the time. And there's crowds around us and people we've loved and people who we hardly remember, like grandparents, people who adored us when we were little. And they're all around. And I think they're always trying to help us. And it's as if we are like autistic. You know, when a child is very autistic, they might not notice you, and you're trying to communicate with them, and they're just not seeing you. And it's like we're that way, and spirits are reaching out, Jean, you know, Selma. And this is an opportunity for us to open to these energies. It helps to talk to somebody who's gifted, and you can also gradually, you can also learn yourself to open that envelope. It's a wonderful experience.
It would be.
Well,
yeah.
I just got goosebumps because I think the whole crowd in my office. the price for this life reading is $247, and you conduct that over Skype or the telephone for anywhere in the world, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Anywhere.
And
I've talked
so,
to people in Vietnam and
Wow. So this is your chance to spend an hour with an incredibly gifted intuitive who will focus on helping you with your life's greatest questions. Again, check out the special offer at unboundedpotential.com/Jeanne, J-E-A-N-N-E, / And so this reading will include some or all of the following: a reading of your soul, your energy, where you come from, why you're here, why it is important for you at this time, what obstacles you're facing, how you can overcome them, and where you are headed in this life. And as Jean just said, often loved ones on the other side come through during the life reading, as well as guides who've been helping you throughout your life. Then you can ask as many questions as there's time for, usually 3 or 4, depending on how complex they are and whether you need help with blocks. Thank you so much for this offer. I think people are going to have tremendous
value
from that.
Yeah. your audience member. Yeah. He is the real Steve. Incredibly gifted. Jean, there's lots of questions coming on board. People have been holding up their hands and everything else there, too. But before that, I was wondering, Jean, if you could, you know, maybe do, you know, like a meditation for, you know, taking our group into maybe the intersanctum. I know our audience would really love that from you.
All right. Let's do it. So I'm going to lead you into a little meditation that it's similar to the one I do with my students, and I do a mini, even smaller version with everybody who calls. So here we go. So I'd like you all to just close your eyes and take some nice deep breaths. Make your eyes soft. Relax your jaw. Keep breathing. And as you breathe, every breath, just notice the breath going all through your body, nourishing you, relaxing you. Be thankful for that breath. Realize how wonderful it is. And now notice whatever where your hands are. Like, make them peaceful and notice what they're touching. Feel the contact. We're bringing the energy out of your head and into your senses. Notice your sit bones pressing against the chair or couch. Any part of your body that is pressing against the outside world. If you're lying down, notice your back. Keep breathing. And notice your feet. What do they feel? They're pressing against the floor. And every breath, you'll feel more and more relaxed. And you'll notice your body more. Just pay attention to it. And now take a moment. We'll do sound. Go into your sound sense. Just take a moment and then listen to every sound you can hear. Good. And now, as you go deeper and deeper, I'd like you to imagine a wonderful place, your special place that you're going to go to right now. Like, we'll call it an inner sanctum, like a sanctuary inside of you. And just imagine this place. It could be a mountaintop or a beach or a room, a place you've been to in your life that you want to go back to. Go there now. It's the most marvelous place in the world for you. And now you're there, and you're with your guides. You're with all of the beings who love you. And you're with your sacred self. You're within your own soul now. And take a moment, and if you notice anybody there that you weren't expecting, then just enjoy their presence and notice them. Notice everything around you that you feel in this little wonderful place inside of you. And now take a moment to ask inwardly a question. Whatever you fervently need to ask. It could be just, am I okay? Am I going to be all right? Or it could be something else. But take a moment and ask that question. And then wait to hear and feel an answer coming within you. Good job. And now remember to breathe. And know that when you come back up, the surface. You're going to feel refreshed and alive. And know that you can go there anytime you want. Just by taking a breath and closing your eyes, tuning inward. And so at the count of three, just come right up. Everybody come right up. And now that you're awake, I'd like you to just, to yourself, make one intention, like a New Year's intention. You know, Mercury's going direct in a few days, so it's a good time to actually get something for yourself that you want, like an intention. I want to be more at peace. I want to find that job. I want to be more directed. Whatever it is, take a moment and make that intention. Now we're all together here on this call, all of us from all over the world. So let's pull ourselves together. Let's be aware of the energy of all of us. And use that energy to further our intention. Know that you will fulfill it. Because everyone is helping you. We all have hopes and dreams and wants and desires. We're all putting it together in one big, beautiful bowl of love and hope. And let's just send it out now. Okay. How was it?
It was really good. Yeah, I was in a very peaceful, you know, like we have Waterton Lakes. I was on top of the Prince of Wales Hotel and just looking down. And I just went back there. How about you, Karen?
I'm sorry, I couldn't participate. We've got so many people trying to get on this call, and obviously there's a little bit of an issue, and so I'm trying to help them. So I'm going to have to listen to the replay. But I want to make sure people get access while we're still live, because I'm sure they have lots and lots of questions.
Okay.
Yeah,
good.
But that was
good.
Thank you for doing that. That's interesting.
Thank you very much.
Something we can listen to over and over again.
So now, our favorite part of the show.
Yes.
Where Jean's going to answer your questions. So if you're on the phone, press *2. And we're also taking questions from the web submission box. So are you ready, Jean?
I'm ready.
Okay, I'm going to start with some of these people that have had their hand up for a few hours. They've got to be in pain here. Okay, let's go. We've got area code 424. You're on the line. What's your question for Jean? Looks like California.
Is it me, Shante?
It would be you, Shante.
Oh, great.
Yay, you won the lottery.
Yeah. Hi, Shante.
Hi. I really don't have a question. Just whatever you pick up. I mean, I'm like finances or health, but whatever you pick up is fine with me.
Okay, fine.
So,
I'm just going to tell you a few things that I pick up, and maybe if Selma or Karen can time me, you know, so that we get on to the next person.
Okay, great.
Not easy for me to just. So, all right, Shante, the first thing I see is really good energy, really upbeat energy, and the sun. I mean, the sense of light and the sun. And so, really, really good energy. I see there are some things that you've been working on that haven't, you know, that you've been upset about or haven't been coming through. And I just feel like I want to say, we were talking about intuition and about guiding, just to know that you're guided and know that these things, that all in good time, and not to worry so much. The other thing, Shante, just tuning into you a little bit more, you've got good people around you. I mean, you've got good joy around you and good people. I get that. And, okay, so I just threw a little tarot spread on you, and I just want to tell you that your outcome of the spread, because we're going to keep this reading brief, is really positive, abundance coming to you. So I think you said, did you say a minute ago that things, finances were not good?
Yeah, they're not. I'm working on something, but it's always a waiting game because I'm, like, on a strict budget, and it's always, like, little. I'm trying to, you know, be patient. And then I'm dealing with candida thing, too, that I'm trying to it's just frustrating and aggravating. It's just, like, wait all the time. So, like,
right. No, I did see. I threw a card that has to do with, like, you don't feel – something isn't feeling well inside your body, but your outcome
or something, I don't know, menopause, something like that. I have to go.
Yeah,
I go to the doctor in March, so I'll get a hormone panel check or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
just
it just
tired.
Says it makes you feel sick. You know, you just don't. You feel stuck and sick and kind of syrupy. Energy feels kind of syrupy and stuck. It is going to pass, and even actually by June. What I'm getting is things are going to perk up and you're going to feel more clear. So I don't know whether it's because you go to the doctor or because it's naturally going to happen, but I do see you have a capacity for joy and fun and enjoyment under good weather. It's not something that we have here in Boston, this kind of weather, but I see that outdoor sun, the sea, the sky, beautiful, that you're going to be enjoying that again and feeling
much,
much better.
Yeah, I'm a beachy person. I love to go to the beach and walk and put my feet in the little seawater sometime and think, you know, sometime. But I haven't.
It's really good for you. And it actually causes a release in you, and you start to realize that the whole universe is on your side, and that there's a rainbow over you, which I see, which rainbow is a symbol I get, and it just means you're protected and you're guided. So, yeah, you're going to be feeling much, much better in terms of the physical. The thing, it's dragging you down, the way you're feeling, and this sort of hormonal thing
awful.
Is dragging. It makes you feel like a lower, kind of like worse outlook, you know. But really, when you come out from under it, you're going to realize that things are good for you. And the there's a lot of love in your life, and the outcome is very positive. Abundance is your outcome.
When I hit something in my life, I just sit and think, I go, this too shall pass, and then I just try to move forward.
Yeah.
I always just say, this too shall pass.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and it shall. And it just, I'm saying that it is, things are going to be much, much better. There's a tarot spread that I've thrown that shows the past, you know, like the recent past, hasn't been so good. And sometimes you feel like, I don't know who I am. One day I'm in a bad mood or, you know, moody, hormonal. And that is going, you know, there's something we see when we do reading, especially with the tarot, is that we can see what is leaving, what you're leaving and where you're heading. Because we're always moving.
And
you're leaving this, you're moving away from this state of moodiness and and dark, sort of that whole dark side. You're moving away from that, and it's going to clear up. And then it seems as though your outlook is going to be much better. And then everything that you already have is going to be, you know, you're going to say, oh, I look at what I have. It's okay. So I could say a little more, but
I'm working.
Sorry,
I'm working on an e-commerce site. Do you think that? Should I be heading that way, or do you see something else?
So this is something, right, I'm picking up, you're doing this alone?
Yes.
You're on your own, because it does say that, all right, I'll try to look and see where it's going to go, but it does say that you could really use doing things with other people, that when you do stuff alone, like this particular one, you're smart, and you get ideas, and you shine inwardly. But it can drag you down a little bit. You can start to get discouraged and your energy isn't as good. But how will it go ultimately?
Be honest. Be honest, please do.
You know what? I'll tell you what I'm seeing. And that's that being alone and working alone, it's very good for some people. But it feels as though that together with this hormonal stuff that's going on and the candida, it's actually making you more less able to have the bright outlook that you need to succeed with it. So it's not that there's anything wrong with the work itself or the prospect of the work. It feels more like it's you not being able to get out of your own energy because you don't have anyone to help, you know, with you. So I think that's going to change as you become more connected with other people. And then, because you really, you can feel, I feel your energy, your beautiful energy. You're bright and fun, lively. Yeah, it's just that you got kind of stuck at a time in your life where you're alone and working alone, and at the same time all this hormonal stuff's going on. And so my recommendation is to really try to be around other people, do whatever, meetups or, you know, hang out with people and get that bright, get that stuff out of you and more connecting with other people. And then I see I start to see financial success. I see more, much better.
Maybe the
much better.
Flow better. Okay.
All right. That sounds good.
Thank you, Shanti.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much.
Nice to talk to you.
Okay.
Thank you very much for your call.
Okay.
All right.
Good. Have a nice
You too. Thank you very much.
Okay, good.
Hey, Gina, I've got Radhi from Bangalore, from the audience dashboard. He says, is there a tendency for psychics to suffer from some kind of fear of imminent dangers? And how do such persons overcome these fears since living with them would not be exactly healthy? And her third part is, can you have a safe method of opening the third eye?
Okay. So I think experience really helps a lot with this, where I have noticed over the years that people who are very, very psychic can also be very fearful because they feel so much, they're so sensitive. You're like a fine-tuned instrument, and you pick up things and you don't know what they are and all that. And I only can say is that I don't get that way now. I know that one thing that's helped me a lot is that I go on retreats, to meditation retreats, and sit quietly for a few days with people and meditate, and it just helps me to find a really, really solid place inside of me, and that provides, I feel like that's protection, that's psychic protection for me. I don't feel as though I have to consciously put like a shield around me, but every once in a while, if I read for somebody who's not nice to me, like sometimes people will, you talk to somebody and they're like, well, tell me what's going on, and and you're not doing it, and I really won't read for people when that happens. So I try to keep good people in my life, and also people in my life who, whether they're calling as a client or just maybe someone I might hang out with, I really concentrate on being around people who are part of like a support system and who I know I feel good about and they feel good about me. And that seems to take care of all this other stuff. I have to tell you, I really don't believe in, that entities can come into you and, harm you and all. I just think if you believe it, it's like Churchill said, the greatest thing is the thing we have to fear is fear itself. And it's really true if you keep your mind in a positive state, and like I see things in the future that, when I do my long-term readings and I write them all down, and they're kind of scary stuff, but I don't think of it as doomsday. I think of it as this is a process that we all move through in order to get to a better place. And so I think about that way about my own life and about other people's lives and also about the world. And that outlook keeps me healthy and it keeps me protected, I think, very protected. I also like meditating, doing readings with other people around. I love it. I feel like that helps too. As far as opening my third eye, this may be contrary to what you've been taught. So I want to tell you, I really respect anything you've been taught in your, say, religion or culture or upbringing, and I can only tell you how I feel. And I love having a third eye, and I like that it's open, and I feel like it's just a gift. So I'm not really aware of feeling as though there's danger. I've seen fear in my students periodically, and I always go through this little talk that I've just given you, that I feel like the only thing really to fear is up in your head. It's worry is to fear. Mm-hmm. But if you're in your heart, you know, if you're in your body and your heart, then we're safe. We're safe. We're guided. So I guess the end all, what I want to say at the end is stay out of your head.
Yeah.
Get into your heart, and you really are safe there.
Mm, I love
beautiful,
that.
Beautiful.
Thank
yep.
you.
Very nice. Thank
good.
You.
Okay, I just want to mention to people that are on the phone, if we could just keep it to one question perhaps, just that there's so many people that would like, you know, some assistance or reading from Jean. We want to give everybody a chance. So I'd like to just, you know, if we could just limit it to one, would be awesome. And here we have, if I could unmute, here we go. Area code 651, it looks like Minnesota, you're on the line. If you could tell us your name and your one
Hi.
Question for Jean.
Hi, this is Julie. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, Julie.
Hi. I guess the biggest thing is basically my kids have stolen most of my all of my money at this point. One has stopped making her loan payments. I'm going to have to sell my house. And I'm wondering if you can give me any guidance as to basically how I'm going to survive financially.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Hold on. So you're saying that you've given them, did you co-sign loans and they stopped making payments? Is that what's going on?
With my oldest daughter, I co-signed loans. My youngest daughter's, well, she had been a meth addict for years. She has stole every penny I have in my name. Mm-hmm. So it will be selling the house, but the house is owned by both my brother and myself because it was our mom's.
Mm-hmm.
So how do I don't know. I'm just beyond heartbroken.
You're really, you're just worried. You're scared.
And I
you're
just,
scared. And,
yeah. I have to sell it. And it's like, there's just so much pain associated with my kids at this point.
Yeah.
That I'm lost. I don't understand how they can do this.
Yeah, I understand. I'm sorry. I'm sorry this has happened to you. And I'm just sending love. And maybe everybody here, all the people on this call, could we all just send her love and surround her with love? And just, can we just say that we know she'll be okay? Just send that love and send that thought.
Thank you.
That she'll be okay. Just surround her with warm love. And then I want to just say something to you. Is it Jolie or Julie?
Julie.
Julie.
Yep.
What I want to say is that, first of all, you know, life never just ends with the thing we're worried about. Like you're worried about money, losing your house, and it doesn't end there. That's what you're afraid of. It's scary, and I don't blame you for being afraid. I don't think anybody here who's listening would feel like they wouldn't necessarily be afraid too. And
right.
yet, when you go through this thing that you're afraid of, it's amazing how much help you're going to have and how much guidance and protection. It's really, it's the fear of it. And you haven't done anything wrong. You are loved. And you're going to go through this, and you're coming out the other side. And I think you will be amazed at how well it goes for you. In ways that, you know, I'm not sure in this short time on this call, I don't know if I can share with you, like, what will happen that will make it okay. But
okay.
I do feel one thing. I do feel you'll get help from other people and you'll learn how to do that, how to reach out and get help. But the main thing is just know that your biggest problem is really your fear of what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
that's up in your head.
Children, how, you know, they weren't raised to be a meth addict, thieves, liars. You know, I can't even wrap my head around that. I don't understand.
You know, there was a wonderful book I read years ago called Boy, Beautiful Boy, by David Shep, who is a really good writer, and he wrote a story about his son who became a meth addict, and what a beautiful boy he was, and how he totally lost his compass because of the drug. It's a wonderful book, and probably you can get it for 50 cents at this point because it was such a big seller if you go on Abe.com. And it taught me so much about what happens when people are addicts. They're not in charge. Their whole nervous system, their neurotransmitters in their brain take over. It's as if they're possessed, and they're not who they are.
Right, yeah, and it was terrifying.
Yeah. So it wasn't your son doing that. You know, if anything, just his need for the drug is what is the one failing, the weakness. But the drug itself took over.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So it was not like he's not a bad person. I mean, we have to be wise about addiction. We have to be, we can't be codependent with the person, but we have to understand it.
I just had to kick her out of my house because she's been hoarding and lying and stealing and rotting food and I mean, just this whole, you know. So then there's that, is she homeless? Is she with an abusive boyfriend? Is she, who knows, you know.
Yep.
So there's just this whole process which makes having to sell the house, I don't know, even more overwhelming, I guess, yeah.
Right. More awful. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Because
it's not on my team. It's not because I choose to do it. It's because they've stolen all my money. That's why I have to do it.
Right.
And I think that's the hardest part.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that it would help if you could see this, you know, bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen. And terrible stuff happens. And we can't, I mean, I'm not going to say to you, it happened for a reason. I'm not going to say that. But what I would say is something Viktor Frankl, who wrote Man's Search for Meaning, and he was dragged into a concentration camp during the war and lost his whole family. And what he says is something I would say to you, which is, when terrible stuff happens to you, it's as if life is calling upon you to become elevated, to become bigger. And so you're saying, like, your heart is broken, and you're saying, I can't believe that my kids did this to me. And what I would say to you is there any at all, anything that you, any silver lining, anything that you feel you can gain from this situation? Like, remember, Julie, you're a soul before you're a person.
Yep. And
what
I
would
know
your soul,
the boundaries. It's because that's, I've always been, shut up, do what you're told, take care of everybody else. You simply don't matter. Why would you try that? You're going to fail. And that's what I've always put up with because that's what was expected of me. And I know it's to become my own person, to stand up and say, no, I deserve to be treated better. I'm going to take care of me for once.
Bravo.
And I know that. I know that. But that doesn't make it easier. But I know that's what it is.
It doesn't make it easier, but when the time comes that you have to go through all this stuff, you'll be a new person. You'll be the person you really are. You'll be your own soul's evolution. And that, you know, sometimes the worst things that happen turn out to actually crack open your world. And
right.
You find you, oh my God, it's a bigger world than I thought. And I see that. I mean, I feel you're going to get help from people through this, and you're going to start to discover a better world. And
okay.
If part of the problem has been that you've just been giving,
and
well,
to
discover something new in yourself that you're important, that you come first, and really changing that, which I think this what this is, it's a trauma. You're going through trauma, and trauma is horrible, but it's also, it's your own self just jerking yourself awake and changing you.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
I feel like over the long term, you're going to feel like something golden came out of all this. Something golden.
I could use some golden.
Well, and you've got get our love your direction too, Julie. You know,
yeah,
for sending,
you've been surrounded by hundreds of our listeners. Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Julie.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're
thank you. You know what? Before she came on the call and you, just before you started talking with her, I was drawing little hearts. You know, just sometimes I do that. And I'm just saying, when you mentioned the heart, you know, like that's
you were
uncanny.
Like, you're in that heart mode. You're picking up on it.
Yes. Yeah. Before
it's funny
because
some people, some psychics actually just write, you know, like they just do automatic writing. They find themselves. And so that's another form of intuition. It's just what is your pen doing that's attached to your fingers? Wonderful.
My little heart there. Okay. Well, we're just going to take a few more questions, if that's okay. We've got Mary from Honolulu. Jean, she's saying, how is my mother, who passed away last summer from a long and extended ordeal with Alzheimer's disease, her dying was also on her terms and what she chose to do it on her own, no one attending her. She was in a care facility. How is she? Is she happy and content, finally, after years of struggle and resistance to our wanting to help her, keep her safe for her own good?
Okay. So it's interesting. I'm sorry for your loss. It must have been really hard to go through that. And I started throwing cards while you were talking, and I saw her before she died, and she was difficult, really difficult, and that must have been hard. But what I pick up is then after that, there was a release, a big release. And can I say, she's in the light now. She's her old, perfect, beautiful self now. She's full of life. She loves to talk. She loves to, you know, hang out. She likes children. She's dramatically altered at this point because she doesn't have that awful darkness that comes when you're in the body, when you know, and on top of that, you're suffering from this terrible disease. So, can you give me her name?
It's Mary. Mary.
Mary. Okay. We're talking through the web. Okay.
Yes.
So Mary,
yes.
And hold on. Let me just read Mary a little bit more. I just feel like she's. She feels like a nice person now. She feels like she's there around you, and she's paying attention to you. And if you can be still and know that she's there, or hold an object that belonged to her, if you've got anything that belonged to her, hold the object, light some candles, turn out the lights, and hold that object and breathe and start to feel her energy, you will realize she is right there with you, right there with you. You can't see her. She sees you. And she's fine now. She's fine. She's as fine and clear as a bell now. She's got friends. I mean, just want to tell you, I see her with other people. She's got people she talks to, and was she sociable? I think she was a pretty nice person before she got sick, and pretty easygoing, liked people. I don't know about easygoing, but she definitely liked people and was outgoing, and now I feel that's back. She's connecting with people. And so what does she want to say to you? I'm happy, I'm well, and I want you to be well too, and I'm actually having a blast. I mean, she's having fun. Any other questions? Yeah.
Yeah. How is your time, Jean? Because we have thousands of questions.
I could do this all night. I'm totally fine.
I do.
You want to keep going? But I thought you had a limit, so I'm good.
Well, we're extenuating.
Yeah.
All right.
People are reaching out. So. Okay. Well, let's do some more then, Karen. What do you think? Yeah. Let's do
it. Hi, area code 508. I think it's Amira. From Framingham, Massachusetts. You're on the line.
Did you say Mira?
Amira?
No.
Amira.
Amira. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so thankful you got me on the call. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Amira.
you know, my whole life has been one trauma after another. You know, my parents were abusive. My ex was abusive. He still is in his way. You know, I'm a concert pianist, but I went to Juilliard. I have no concerts right now, and I'm really stuck. And yet I'm, you know, playing better than ever. You know, I when I play, I'm channeling in composers, but my financial situation is so dire right now, I don't even know how I'm going to make my next mortgage payment or my kids' tuition in college. And I feel confused because I feel like, on the one hand, I'm playing so well, and when I do give concerts, I get standing ovations, yet the recordings are always messed up and ruined and can't be used. And so it's like I feel like I don't know what the universe is trying to tell me. I really don't know where to go.
Okay. All right. This is let's look at this. Let's read this. I can feel I want to just say that I can feel in your body I'm wondering if you should get tested for B deficiencies in your body, and I'm wondering if you there are a couple of conditions that nutritional conditions that can actually affect your well-being, your sense of well-being. And I mean, the other thing I want to say is musicians, you're a musician, and musicians are the most psychic, the most sensitive that in terms of, you know, studies that they've done, very sensitive people, and it's a beautiful thing, but they can also suffer because they're so, so sensitive. You feel everything. So one, I feel like, you know, you can really get into a flow. I see that, you know. On the other hand, you can also feel almost so emotionally like down that you can feel like you're drugged with like a bad drug. and that's where I'm wondering whether you're absorbing B vitamins. And it's a common problem. And I don't know where you go to get tested. But if you have a regular primary care doctor and you just say, you know, I'd like to check out whether I have, there's a mutated gene for B vitamins called MTHFR, and it just means that you might not be able to absorb B vitamins, you know, like folic acid or, you know, B12, and which case, you know, that makes serotonin and it makes neurotransmitters in your brain, and which helps you feel better. And if you're not getting enough of that because of, I feel like there's something physical going on. I mean, yes, yeah, you also said that you've been traumatized by abusive people. And I hadn't thought about that. But I can feel in my body, I can feel how I feel your headaches and, you know, aches and just this sort of, oh, it's really tough. And so I would say I would do everything you could, first of all, just to physically boost your system, your serotonin and your, you know, dopamine levels, like exercise. Check out whether you have this problem with vitamins, B vitamins, and eat right, stay off the junk foods. And then I just feel like the sun will come out, you know, because I think you've just had too much. Your body just isn't able to process enough of the memories and the traumas that you've had. And what else can I tell you? Let's see. I'll throw your cards. You seem to go, I mean, it looks like you go through, you know, swings, like mood swings. When you're playing, for example, it's like a meditation. You're channeling, and this tremendous light coming through you, and that's good. But when you're not playing, I feel like you just it's a lot of, it's just this dysregulation in your whole system, and I'd just like you to get help with that, like to see someone for figuring out what's wrong, you know, with your system, and whether it's B vitamins or just need more exercise and really a lot of exercise. If it's not a vitamin problem, I think you need a lot of exercise. I'm saying that only to get your body boosted and alive. I know the weather hasn't been so great. I'm only like 10 miles from you. But
well, I mean, I do walk my dog 45 minutes twice
good.
A day. And
oh,
even
well,
like
that's...
in this weather, like day, I put on my snow pants and we go. So
good.
I can't afford, you know, kickboxing and stuff that I used to do anymore.
No, but
I do, you know, yeah. I exercise and I eat. I'm a vegetarian. I eat pretty healthy. I mean, I don't eat that much junk
okay.
food. Occasionally, you know, I mean, I have to admit I am a chocoholic, but, you know,
but that's good for you. I
that much. So, you know, so it's interesting. I do suffer lately from cluster headaches. I don't know if that's what you're picking up on, because I've had
a lot of headaches. Yeah.
That's what I've been getting. But other than that, health-wise, I
well,
mean,
good.
Yes, my left hand got caught in my dog's leash when he lunged at a rabbit, and it's kind of, I have something wrong with the joint, and I'm still able to play, but there definitely is pain. And I went for doctors, but they were not able to, I haven't had very good luck with medical doctors. They've always done something wrong or missed something. So I'm kind of just trying to work that out on my own.
No, I understand.
So,
doctors don't tend to test for this stuff. I know there's a psychiatrist in Newton who does look at all these things, and she has a website, and you can read about it. She's really good with this. You can learn mostly for free from the website. Her name is Judy Safrir, Safrir is T-S-F-R-I-R, and so that is one help. But I'm just throwing your cards just to look for a minute, and... let's see. So you're actually just asking, like, how can I feel better? Is that right? Does that make sense?
Well, it's not so much physically how I feel better, but, like, because, I mean, I'm so stuck financially and like, I mean, I stood outside of the Symphony Hall to give the conductor, you know, a CD last year, and I know he didn't listen to it, and I'm just so frustrated. I can't – I just feel like I'm – something's not – is stuck. There's a block somewhere – why my career is not taken off. When I play, people come up to me and say, oh, when are you playing again? We want to come. And when I tell them, oh, I have nothing scheduled, they're absolutely shocked. And so I don't understand, you know, as you see, when I'm playing, things are flowing. So
yeah,
why is
good.
There such a disconnect?
And
like,
I'm,
I can't
I'm
support
trying to
my
see that, yeah. Yeah, no. Well, and it's a very tough career to support yourself in. I know that it takes... what I'm looking at you now, let's see, what can you be doing more? I feel like I feel there, you know, you need gigs, basically. You need a lot of gigs. Is that the right word? You know, jobs. And I feel as though you, what can you do to get more jobs? It just seems like you, are you doing a lot of things? Like, you know, there are all kinds of things online where you can, in a sense, get opportunities to play more. I guess what I'm seeing in my mind's eye is you playing no matter what. Like, getting out more and playing no matter what. Like, playing for people, playing for an audience, whether it's for money or for free, and that leading to more. It's just a thought. It's what's popping in my mind. Like, sometimes you would be playing volunteer, but it's getting you connected. It's getting more people seeing you, I guess. I would, yeah. And I think that would help you a lot. I just, go ahead.
Because I've been doing that for the past couple of years. I mean, some of the people I went to Juilliard with who, you know, we play chambers together, they're making, you know, thousands of dollars a concert, and I'm lucky if I make hundreds a concert. So when I'm playing a lot, I've done a lot of volunteering, and this year I finally decided, even if it's for a nominal fee, I'm going to get paid, because I just wondered if the energy of always playing for free and thinking, oh, maybe I'll make a connection will work. But then I thought, well, maybe I'm just sending out to the universe that I should not get paid. So now I want at least something, but it's not... you know, it's not snowballing. There's no, like, the, you know, I haven't met the right connection that's actually going to help my career take off.
Okay, I understand. And Juilliard is such a good school. You should be totally successful. So what do I see? I'll just throw one card for you and see if it will give some, like, something to shift it. Let's see. You know, it's funny. I'm throwing the cards, and it's like you said that you were traumatized, that you had a really hard life, and it's not easy to, like, it's like a cloud, and it's not easy to break through that cloud. And I'm feeling like it would help to do some inner work. But, you know, I don't want this to turn into just an advice session. You know, I know you're looking for, you know, what will make the difference for me. And I truly feel like it comes from within. You know, it comes from within. The only reason I was telling you I thought you should do more, like try to get out more and do more, is because it shifts something inside of you. But you could do that without going out and playing for free by simply picturing that. I mean, it's hard to do this in front of, I'm not sure it's appropriate to do this in front of all these people, but there's a wonderful exercise where, you know, that I can lead you in, where you picture your energy actually expanding and expanding, and we send it. I don't know if you ladies have time to do this, but you send it all over the world. And so if you just take a moment and just imagine your own energy, just this ball of light, just enveloping your whole being, and picture it. And it's you. It's wonderful you. It's talented you. It's musical, beautiful you. And it's all in energy, like light. And then like Tinkerbell light, you know, a glow. And take that energy. I actually want to do a clearing of your chakras. You know what the chakras are, like the energy centers in your body. So I just want to imagine that I see that ball of light over your head, and just make it go into your forehead, into all of your chakras, your heart, your solar plexus, just going in and clearing, and into your navel, and then right under and scooping right up through your root chakra, and then just cleansing you completely. And actually, everybody can do this. It's a wonderful exercise. I do it for myself. You just imagine this ball of light, and you just take it, it's on the top of your head, keep breathing, and you just bring it out in front of you and then put it into your forehead. And there's a wonderful saying you can go with it, the Rosicrucian saying, is, I am the soul. And have it go in your third eye, right where those headaches are, and send that light right into your third eye, and then it's just balancing and cleansing. Everyone can do this at once. It's very powerful. And then bring it up over the top of your head, and then bring it into your throat. Your throat chakra. I am the soul. I am the light divine. Bring it into your throat. What we're doing is balancing your whole energy body, which is really the root of your whole body and your life and your attitude, into your throat, and then bring it up through the top of your head and out in front of you. And this time, I am love. Have it go into your heart. I am love. You are love. And then have it go up through the top of your head and then out in front of you. I am will. You are will. Have it go into the area where your diaphragm is. That's your solar plexus. I am will. And then out in front of you and then into the navel area where your belly button is. I am fixed design. And you have a very big third eye. I'm telling you this now because as I'm doing this exercise with you, I see your big third eye. And you've absorbed a lot of difficulties in your life, and it's hard to let go of them, but you're very, very psychic, very intuitive. And so now we just do a whirlwind of energy over the top of your head and put it all through your whole body, just final cleansing. Okay, now you're ready to go. And now I want you to look at that, your ethereal body again, just all the light of your body. It's all balanced and cleansed and beautiful. And take the ball of light, take some of it, put it on the top of your head and just start whirling it and whirling it, and let's send it all over the world. This is your energy that's going to get a job. You're going to find the work, the right work, and you send your energy all over the world. Send it all around Boston and all the way down to Florida and to Canada. Just send it as if you're like scattering this beautiful energy all around, because you never know where the job could come from. So let's just put it everywhere. And it's you. It's your energy. It's like when you create a buzz about yourself with a publicist or something. You're sending your energy out. So now we watch that energy floating to Earth, and we look for the job. And I just want you to think this with me. There are people out there who need you. They need your beautiful playing. They need your beautiful self, and that you and them together come together to find the right work, to have the right work, that it's a perfect match. So just imagine them. They're down there. They're looking for somebody. And your energy comes along, and they get it. Keep doing this exercise. It's really a visualization. You can do this when you're trying to attract a mate or a friend or a job, anything. And they come to you, and it's a good connection.
Very powerful.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jean. I'm definitely smiling. I definitely
She always makes us smile, doesn't she? Oh.
And I'm glad you're walking your dog. I have a dog, and I walk it. So you're getting – that's plenty of exercise. Just do it vigorously.
Mm-hmm. Will do.
It will help.
We wish you the best, Amira.
Yes. Thank you so much. Much love.
Amira.
Thank you.
Yes, much
Thank
love.
You very much. Thank you. Oh, well – I think we just thank everybody for their questions, and we want to honor everybody's time. We just want to put a reminder, if you want to, you know, Jean does have a special offer going with us. She does a one-hour life reading. Lots of good things happening during that time, so she's got that on a special price of $247. If you want some additional information, go to unboundedpotential.com/Jean. JEANNE. All right. So, Jean, well, you know, thank you so, so much for sharing
your
insights. We sense your deep knowing and compassion. We just enjoyed this time with you immensely. Again,
I did too. And I want to say something about the special offer, which is that it's an hour reading, but I'll work with you in that hour. And if it goes over a little, I'm okay with that, because I want it to be okay for you. I want to see a shift in you. So it's a very generous reading, and you really only need one in your life. You can come back if you like afterwards, but one is really it's a very full reading.
Mm-hmm.
You'll know if it's the right thing for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So thank you very much. Again, we're very
You're very
honored.
Welcome.
Yeah, and to you, our dear audience members, may you always be more, love more, live more, and never settle for less. Go beyond. Thanks always for joining us, and good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
We truly hope you enjoyed today's presentation to assist you in going beyond.
Until next time, be more, love more, live more, and never settle for less.